My father told me about Tesla and how he got essentially screwed by Westinghouse. The story there is that Tesla had invented this polyphase motor, signed the patent over to Westinghouse way back in the late 1890s, and Westinghouse was building these things and started to complain that he couldn't, his company didn't have enough money to be able to pay Tesla what the contract actually specified, which was some amount of money per horsepower that they were selling. And so Tesla tore up the contract under the assumption, I guess, that Westinghouse would take care of him in other ways.
Yeah, he really trusted them.
Yeah, right, he did, which was not a good thing to do. No. Marconi didn't trust him. He made sure that he got his money whenever there was money available. But anyway, that's how, when I saw this book at Bob Hieronymus's place, I said, oh, well, okay, here's a book about Tesla. I'll take this. And I read it, and halfway through the book, where we're getting to the point on the Wardenclyffe plant and so on about how he's going to transmit power through the atmosphere, and how J.P. Morgan was funding this at the time, and how the decision came down to something as crude, mundane, what do you want to say, as, well, right now we've got Tesla's polyphase system that's carried by wires. We've cranked up mines and forests to the point where we can create tons of hundreds of miles of copper wire and zillions of telephone poles, and we'll make lots of money doing this. And if we allow Tesla to build something that doesn't need wires and telephone poles, we'll lose a lot of money.
We're dead.
So therefore,
exactly.
Screw Tesla.
Yep, it was all about the money.
I said to myself, wait a minute. People should know this, right? Here's a major decision on the part of industrialists. It's based on making bucks. And, if we don't know whether Tesla could have been successful or not. Probably not, I would say, based on what we know now. But in any event, at the time, what Tesla was doing looked good. And simultaneously, about the same time after I read this book, I was talking to some people out in Los Angeles, Tracy Torme and some other guys.
Oh, sure.
They're saying, we sure wish we could make a movie about Tesla, but nobody's been able to come up with something. So I sort of took this as a hint, and they indicated that, we'd be interested if you could come up with some sort of a good script. So I sat down and I wrote this thing, which is on my website. You can click on and read this. It's sort of a novel in the format of a stage play, movie. So there's more than you couldn't do this on a stage, but you could do it as a movie.
Is it the life of Tesla, or does it have some
This has got high drama, because I call it a novel that's based on the life of Tesla. You do learn about the life of Tesla in it. This is a novel because it tackles the problem of what would have happened or might have happened had Hitler's spies decided to steal Tesla's weapon. And this is not a zero probability thing. Tesla had gone public in the 1930s saying that he could create a defensive weapon that would shoot down airplanes at a distance of 200 miles.
Any range at that 200-mile rate. I mean, if there were 60 planes in the sky.
10,000 airplanes an hour or something like that.
He'd take them all down. Yeah,
right. Well, now, in the actual World War II, not long after, in the 1941-42 time frame, Hitler, of course, was flying there. The Luftwaffe had a lot of aircraft, but they were being shot down faster than they could be built and replaced. So I conceive of an idea that what if Hitler's henchmen had decided that maybe we could use Tesla's weapon to help defend Germany itself? And so in this script, if you read the script, you'll see I have a beginning with walking into Hitler's bunker and watching him talk with a couple of people, German officers who have conceived of this plan to get Tesla's secret weapon, which they believe is in a hotel. I forget the name of the hotel now. Supposedly Tesla had left a box for safekeeping and as collateral against his rent. By the time he was in the 1930s, Tesla was basically a poor man. Yeah. Although he had made billions, well, I don't know about billions, but certainly tens or hundreds of millions of dollars for other people, he was just barely scraping along.
What a shame.
Yes. The action in this takes place on the day, most of the action takes place on the day before Tesla was found dead. And during this time, I managed to conceive of a story where his life is reviewed in the movie by a scientist who has to make a decision as to whether or not this weapon could be real.
Well, when are we going to make this? When are we going to make this movie?
Well, as soon as somebody comes up with 30, 40, 50 million bucks. Even if you didn't make the whole thing, if you made pieces of it, if you read the script, there's a bunch of chunks in here on his life. For example, his display, his presentation at the Chicago World's Fair, the Columbian Exhibition in 1893, or any one of his demonstrations at his own laboratory. You have people like Rudyard Kipling and Mark Twain, Sarah Bernhardt, all these people who were famous at the time. Paderewski, people who were buddies with Tesla because he hobnobbed with the top of society.
Oh, he was a genius. I put him in the category of the Albert Einsteins, Bruce.
Right, and where Einstein was more
theoretical,
thinking about stuff, obviously Tesla could think too, but he was in there with his bare hands wiring, making all these coils and stuff.
Well, let's talk about the reality of this beam weapon, this death ray. How far in reality did he go with this? Because I've got to ask you about this explosion that occurred in the early 1900s over Siberia,
yeah,
Tunguska.
The Tunguska meteor.
Absolutely. Because some people think it might have been a Tesla ray, but tell us about the beam weapon.
Well, I don't think that Tesla had anything to do with that.
You're about Tunguska.
The beam weapon, had it been developed, would have been in the 1930s, based on what he discovered in 1899 when he was at his laboratory in Colorado. And this stuff is all portrayed in the script that I wrote. His life is portrayed in a scene as a little kid, 13-year-old, building a water wheel, and his friends help him break it for him. But nevertheless, in this first scene is about his life. He looks at the picture of Niagara Falls at his uncle's house, and he says to his uncle, I'm gonna make that waterfall generate power. Now, he's 13 years old when he says this.
True story?
Something like 20 years later when he did it.
Okay.
I have a series of things that, are basically speculation on this beam weapon, because he never really published all the details of it.
So it was really never built, right?
Well, we don't know. In the script, I have it actually a model built.